Hi, welcome to the Bucko Fever podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Franson. Thanks for giving me a listen today. Appreciate it. I'm back. 2023, first episode of the year. I was hoping to get a couple more in by now, but, busy life. So now I think it's as good a time as any, with pitchers and catchers and spring training coming up here quicker than you realize. I want to take a look at this roster. The Pirates have had a busy offseason as far as, historically, in recent years. The Pirates haven't been dealing away their valuable players. They've been able to swing some deals for guys that were, fringe guys on the roster, guys that they had to designate for assignment anyway to clear spots for some of these new folks. They've been able to do that. They brought in some talent. I talked about it a little bit on the last episode. But I really want to kind of look at where they are now, where the holes still are, what they could do, between now and the start of the season, and really kind of, break it down. I think this team could surprise some people. I think a lot of people expect them to be better. If you look at the roster now and compare it to the opening, the roster last year at this time, way better, way more experience. The veterans are quality veterans. They're not just your waiver claims and your I hope they finally click here type guys. They're established players, and that hasn't happened in a while. So take a look at all that. But before I do, let's have a message from Anchor. Yeah, so when the 2022 season ended, you could look at the Pirates roster and really pinpoint, two or three different spots that, they really needed to address in the offseason. Catcher was one, first base, and of course, pitching. And the Pirates have done a pretty good job at that. There's still some work to do, I feel, but they've done a pretty good job. And, in my last episode, I talked about it a little bit. Up to that point, they had, filled in first base. They did that pretty quick, bringing in G-Mon Choi and going out and signing Carlos Santana. They seem to have first base kind of figured out, hopefully. They're going to have other options there as well. Connor Joe could play some first base. There's other options than just those two because, recently, the last couple days, G-Mon Choi has kind of hinted that, he might not be super happy. He's a pro. He's going to play. He's upset he isn't going to be able to play in the World Baseball Classic. And I get his point, but, the Pirates playing it safe. They want to handle his rehab from his surgery and make sure he's in the best position to start the season, with the big league club. I feel for him. I get where he's coming from, but at the same time, you kind of understand where the Pirates are coming from as well. They have Choi and Santana at first, way better than what they have had in the last few years. Really established, experienced first baseman, which is something that the Pirates, haven't had. They plugged guys in there that had maybe played some first base or would essentially teach guys how to play first base and hope for the best. I saw a list, and I don't have it in front of me. I can't remember where I saw it, but I saw a list yesterday, I believe on Twitter, the list of all the people that played first base for the Pirates last year. And you know, as barring any, you know, injuries or anything, you know, being able to rely on Choi and Santana, you know, have two options there is pretty, you know, pretty sweet. And like I said, even Connor Joe. Catcher was another, you know, the other place. And, you know, the Pirates, you know, had Andy Rodriguez. They had to add him to avoid the Rule 5. You know, obviously, arguably the best player in the organization. You know, he was a no-brainer to add, of course. But that left him with somebody that, you know, hasn't had a whole lot of experience in the upper minors yet. So, you know, they went out and got Austin Hedges. Austin Hedges is kind of defense only. And I think that's okay. I mean, that's what the Pirates had last year a lot. Not a whole lot of offense coming from catcher. I mean, Roberto Perez a little bit, but then, of course, he got hurt. Catcher's an area I still think the Pirates should address. Obviously, I mean, I really don't think Andy Rodriguez is going to make the team out of spring training unless he just, you know, crushes the ball all spring. But I really don't see it happening. He's going to need some more, you know, seasoning. He's still just 22. You know, he'll be 23 in May. You know, he's still pretty young. You know, he'll be up this year, I'm sure, barring any setbacks or struggles, you know, in the upper minors in AAA. But Austin Hedges is a good start. You know, they do have their non-roster invitees, you know, and they have several catchers. A lot of them are names that we know. Tyler Heineman, Jason DeLay, you know, we saw them last year. All defense, not a whole lot of bat. You know, could they go with one of them? I mean, they have roster. They don't have roster space right now, but they will, you know, putting a guy like Max Kranick on the 60-day as soon as they're able to do that. That would open up a roster spot pretty quickly for one of those guys, if that's the route they want to go. The market out there for catcher is pretty slim. I took a look at available guys. Nothing real exciting. I would have been okay if they would have brought in Roberto Perez on a minor league deal, you know, as, you know, rotate him and Austin Hedges, but they didn't. So looking at those guys, and then, of course, Henry Davis is going to be in camp, as well as Carter Binns. So, you know, I think with catcher, it's nice you're starting to see these young guys be in the conversation, you know, for depth. I think we'll probably see Henry Davis this year, I would think. I don't think it's guaranteed, but he could. Him and Endy, I think we'll see both of them at some point. Binns, it's gone up to Binns. If Binns can, you know, hit a little better this year, you know, with AAA, with, you know, Davis and Andy Rodriguez. Andy Rodriguez has a little bit more flexibility with where he can play. You know, he'll get the at-bats elsewhere as well. But, you know, Binns is going to be fighting for playing time down there, especially, you know, if they keep Jason DeLay around, or, you know, if he doesn't make the big league roster, like, or, you know, Heineman and vice versa. You know, that's going to be an interesting battle, I guess, to watch, you know, as spring gets rolling and, you know, comes to a close, and see who really takes that spot. The nice thing is, you know, with Hedges, if you go with a Heineman, you know, they're still working with that pitching staff, that young staff. So I think it's nice to have that type of catcher behind the plate, you know, for these young guys, with the hopes that one of the more well-rounded prospects, either Davis or Rodriguez or even Binns to an extent, you know, develop and make a push. As far as the other big hole, you know, pitching, you can never have too much pitching. I feel like the Pirates did a pretty good job so far this offseason. I think they could do a lot more. Let's not say a lot more, but more. So, like, right now, I mean, the rotation, I would say, you know, it's set up with, Ronsi Contreras, Mitch Keller, JT Brubaker, and then the two new additions this year with Dwayne Underwood Jr., Vince Velasquez, and Rich Hill. Rich Hill and Velasquez don't really do a whole lot for me. I'm not super excited about them being here. I get it, and I'm okay with it. Like, I'm not. They're both short-term solutions. Velasquez, I actually like. I think that he, I like him more as a swing guy, bullpen piece. I think that he's pitched a lot better out of the pen. So we'll see how that goes. Rich Hill, you know, the elder statesman here of the roster. I like that. I like the signing. Like I said, I'm not super excited about it, but it's fine. You get a lefty in that rotation. He's gonna, I think, just be Rich Hill. Rich Hill over the last few years has been able to sustain, productivity. Last year saw a little bit of a dip, I would say. You know, the ERA got ballooned a little bit. But overall, the last few seasons, his earned run average has been in the, under four. Last year was a little bit over four. Still not terrible. He'll give you, over 100 innings. last year was 124. The year before that, 158-ish. That's not bad. He's not going to, blow a lot of people away, but, like, he seems to, avoid hard contact. Opponents batted 258 over on, against him last year. That's his highest in years. Normally hovering, 235, 204, 223 in the previous few seasons. Maybe that will change a little bit, but all in all, his numbers are good. And if he can give the Pirates what he gave the Red Sox last year, 26 starts, I think that'll be okay. The thing about Rich Hill, if he is healthy and at least, doing what he has been, or at least something close, he's a little bit of a trade piece at the deadline. Because here's the thing that's cool this year. You don't have to rely on these guys to get you a whole season. And I don't think, never really do that. You never rely on your first five starters. You've got to have, 10 to 12 guys lined up, ready to go, because people are going to get hurt. And that's where this year's team, I think, stands out in a sense, where aside from those five guys, you have two other guys who you saw a lot of last year. Luis Ortiz got a taste of what he can do, there towards the end of the season. And Johan Oviedo. We got four starts out of Ortiz. He looked pretty solid in those starts. Oviedo gave the Pirates seven starts. 3.23 ERA in those seven starts. That 1.27 WHIP. I like the WHIP. Like, if that WHIP is below 1.4, you know, in my opinion, that's kind of where I love, you know, starting pitching to be. And, you know, Oviedo looked pretty solid. A lot of people really like him out of the pen in the long term, and I'm fine with that. But I think he, you know, he'll get a shot at the rotation. And with all these guys, I could see Oviedo bumping Velasquez to the pen. He's younger. He looked good last year. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with that. You know, outside of that, non-roster invitees, you know, you've got these prospects. I mean, you have Cody Bolton, who I still think is going to be a productive major league pitcher. You know, if he can just stay healthy, he's going to get a shot this year at some point, I would think. Whether it be in the pen or the rotation, I'd love for him to stick in the rotation, but, you know, we'll see. Other invitees, Carmen Majinski, you know, Jared Jones is another one. Kyle Nicholas, Quinn Priester, of course. You know, those are the guys that are, you know, in the upper rankings a lot for the Pirates. Oh, and Michael Burrows. I can't believe I forgot Burrows. Burrows is on the 40-man, of course, but Mike Burrows, I think we'll see at some point. He's probably not going to start the season with the big league club, but we'll see him at some point. You know, so this rotation has a lot of upside. You know, if you look outside of the five guys, you know, six, seven guys that are really in that, like an honest battle, a competition for the rotation this year, you know, Contreras should be better. Hopefully Mitch Keller gets better, or at least can just, you know, be consistent. Brubaker, if Brubaker can give you what he gave you last year, you know, I think that's, you know, a pretty solid arm, you know, there in the rotation. Brubaker's one that if he can have a solid season going into the trade deadline, you know, and the Pirates are, you know, if they're out of it and they have Priester and Bolton and Burrows and whoever, like, ready to roll into the big leagues, Brubaker could be a nice little trade piece. His name was mentioned this offseason a little bit. I think, ultimately, I like Brubaker maybe out of the pen, but I'm not sure. Brubaker is like a puzzle that just I can't really solve. 1 minute I'm like, okay, this guy's pretty solid, and then next minute I'm like, there's still some holes there in his game. So, but overall, I think, you know, going into the season, this is a relatively strong rotation. I would love for them to bring in another starter, maybe on a minor league deal. I don't know what that looks like. None of the names are super exciting, but maybe a bounce back guy, or even go out and trade for somebody. If they could go out and pick up a starter that somebody's looking to deal, that could slide into their four spot and have Rich Hill be the fifth starter, you know, immediately bump Velasquez to the pen. I think that would be a really smart move. That's one thing with this offseason. I was really surprised that the Pirates weren't more active in the trade market when it comes to bringing in, you know, big league talent, or like a real big league starter. Yeah, I mean, the other place, the Pirates, I really like this group, out in the pen. The bullpen is pretty solid if they can stay healthy. They were able to add a couple arms to the mix out there. And, I think it's way better starting this season than what it was last year. Of course, you're going to have Bednar in the back end. You know, Bednar is going to be the closer until he implodes or until they trade him. But he's the guy out there. Other arms to really kind of, you know, solidify that pen or some guys we saw last year. Will Crow is, and you know, Will Crow had a great year in last year until he didn't. And now I think he was just gassed. The Pirates used him way too much, but they really didn't have any other great options at the time. What the Pirates did last year, you know, in some of the trades and, you know, a waiver claim or two, they really kind of solidified the depth of the pen. You know, bringing in a guy like Colin Holderman, you know, didn't get to see a whole lot of him with the Pirates because, you know, he got hurt. But I'm really excited to see a full season out of him, hopefully. Yuri De Los Santos is another guy. You know, saw a little bit of him. He looked great. And then he got hurt. Dwayne Underwood Jr., he's kind of in that Will Crow mold where when Dwayne Underwood Jr. is used and used correctly and appropriately for what he brings, he's a pretty solid reliever. He got overused, you know, just out of necessity for the Pirates. They, you know, other options weren't great. So, and I think that's kind of been Underwood his whole time here. I really look forward to seeing what they do with him this year because I really think Underwood, he's not like a long-term option out there, obviously, but he could be a nice little trade chip. If they can get him to where he doesn't have as many, you know, rough outings where he's more consistent, I think he could be a valuable piece for them this year and, you know, a trade chip at some point for them. Chase DeYoung. Chase DeYoung's one of the surprise guys for me. When they signed him as a minor league free agent a couple years ago, you know, it was your typical Pirate signing, a guy with a pedigree, you know, a guy who was a top prospect with another organization, you know, a high draft pick. Neil Huntington always loved those guys. If you were drafted in the first round and somehow got placed on, you know, waivers, there's a good chance Neil Huntington was going to try to bring you in. And Ben Sherrington has done that a little bit as well. But Chase DeYoung has kind of paid off. You know, once they moved him to the pen, you know, he was pretty solid for them last year. You know, he appeared in 42 games for the Pirates, which when I saw that number, that seemed high to me. I was actually surprised he was in that many because he seemed like he was kind of dinged up. But 71 and two-thirds innings pitched, 1.14 whip, 2.64 ERA. Those are solid numbers. DeYoung's another guy. You know, he's got some controllability. You can, you know, he can be a semi-long-term piece for them. But again, like the Underwood thing, you know, bullpen for me are where small market clubs can really continue to add depth through trades. You get a solid reliever, you know, contending clubs will pay highly for them. Chase DeYoung's not going to net you a top 100 prospect. But, you know, if the numbers are right, and you know, a big team needs a boost out in the pen, Chase DeYoung could get you either, you know, a couple lottery tickets or, you know, a top 30 prospect if he does what he did last year. Another guy, Robert Stevenson, another waiver claim. I'm actually kind of surprised he's still around. I would have thought he would have been designated for assignment by now. But the Pirates see enough in him, you know, an experienced veteran out there. You know, I get why he's still around, but I'm still kind of surprised. Dari Moretta, picked him up in a trade, you know, for Kevin Newman. Moretta's been okay. He's still on the younger side, 26. He's appeared in the past two seasons for the Reds. Last year, he got beat up a little bit. But, you know, he finished the year relatively strong. So, like, he had a nice run in July. July was a good month for him. August, he only appeared in a game in August, but nice little outing. And then, you know, September, he got roughed up in his last outing. But all in all, like, he only had a couple really bad outings in the early months, that really kind of ballooned that ERA a little bit. But I'm interested to see what he can do for the Pirates. I think that was a nice trade. You got a young, controllable reliever for Kevin Newman. You know, Kevin Newman's a solid major league player. But, you know, the Pirates have guys who project better. So, Johan Ramirez, he's an enigma for me. I think that he would look really bad at times, but he seemed to get out of it. You know, and he really did finish the season very strong, you know, for the Pirates after they got him on the waiver claim. He's one of those guys, to me, he's like Richard Rodriguez. Like, I remember the bad. Like, when it's bad, it really stands out as bad. Like, he's walking guys, hitting guys, giving up a bunch of hits. Like, he had a horrible outing on August 8th. And I think that's the one for me against the Diamondbacks. I remember that one. And then against Boston as well. But, like, all in all, he really wasn't that bad. I had him penciled in along with Stevenson as being who I would consider some of the first guys out the door. But they're still around, and I kind of get it. Newcomer and the pretty much the lone experienced lefty out there is Jarlin Garcia, you know, free agent from the Giants. You know, he had a pretty solid year last year. He's been pretty consistent throughout his career. The last 2 years, he appeared in, you know, 58 games each year. And decent results. I mean, he's appeared in the big league since 2017. Career ERA of 3.61. Career WHIP of 1.15. Yeah, I like that signing. I think that you got a lefty who's decent. Like, he's not a throwaway guy. He's a decent option for him out there. So it's good that they have that. The other lefty is Jose Hernandez, the Rule 5 pick. Who knows? You never know what you're going to get from these guys. More often than not, they don't stick. Or you don't see a whole lot out of him. He made it to Double A last year. Numbers are okay. Held opponents to a 2.19 average in Double A. 1.24 WHIP. So we'll see how long he sticks, if he does stick. But, you know, they do have two lefties out there. Glad they have the experience in Garcia. Outside of that, on the non-roster front, really the names for me that really stick out, I'm intrigued by Tyler Chatwood. You know, Tyler Chatwood, if you look at the numbers, didn't have a great year, last year or in Oh, he didn't even play last year. 2021 did not have a great year. You know, he didn't make the big leagues last year at all. So Tyler Chatwood is an interesting name to watch. You know, he's had a solid major league career, kind of up and down. But all in all, you know, take a chance. See if he can do anything, you know, out of the pen. But you have that veteran. And then picked up a couple other guys. You know, Nathan Webb, former Bucko farmhand Daniel Zamora. You know, nothing earth-shattering. Angel Perdomo, giant, 6'8", 265. You know, he hasn't appeared in the big leagues since 2021 when he got roughed up quite a bit. Last year in the minors was a good year for him. You know, in 21 games with Durham, 2.12 ERA, 0.094 WHIP, or 0.94 WHIP, 160 batting average against. I mean, his career major league numbers are god awful, but you know, he's a lefty. Maybe there's something there they could fix, but it's nice that they're not really relying on these types of players, you know. I like that they don't have a billion minor league free agents too, and that the non-roster invitees are a nice mix, but mainly prospects. But we'll see what happens with these guys. They did also pick up Juan Manaea a couple days ago. You know, right-handed pitcher. I think he's going to factor into the pen. I wouldn't be shocked if he makes it. I think Manaea is a nice little signing. Again, could be nothing, but, you know, minor league deal, he's worth it. You know, last year, Manaea got roughed up a little bit. He only appeared in 6 games for the Twins. But previously, solid. You know, the whip did struggle with that a little bit. 2021 is a great year to look at for him. 1.18 whip, 189 average against. Really hoping for the Pirates are really hoping for a bounce back type of year from him. And, you know, see what he does, you know, whether it be, you know, whether he starts a year in Indy, or if he can have a good spring. I really think he could make, he can make the club. Now, another thing the Pirates did this offseason, that I haven't even talked about yet. You know, the Pirates did a really good job of bringing in veterans. And this is something people have been clamoring for years, that the Pirates to actually spend some money and bring in some veterans. I already mentioned, you know, Rich Hill and Vince Velasquez and Yarlin Garcia. They're, you know, just those three alone, okay, decent. Austin Hedges, I mentioned him already. Carlos Santana and Juman Choi, to, you know, rotate around there at first base, way better than what they've had. But of course, the big signing, is of course Andrew McCutchen. If you're expecting Kutch to regain his, MVP numbers here in Pittsburgh, it's not going to happen. However, he still could be a very productive player for them in a platoon. He doesn't hit righties very well anymore, but lefties, he still hits them pretty consistently. You know, last year on a whole, .237 average, just a little bit over league average. 17 home runs. You know, he played in 134 games, so he got quite a bit of playing time last year. I'm really curious to see how the Pirates use him. You know, he's listed as a DH a lot of places. I'm sure he'll DH some, but you also have Carlos Santana and Choi, you know, to work into the mix there. Choi's not probably going to DH a whole lot. I think it's going to be Kutch and Santana. But it'll be really interesting. Like, I'm really, you know, in the last couple of years, a lot of people wanted Kutch to come back. You know, there is that sentimentality that goes along with it. You know, just wanting to relive those wild card days. But, you know, this year, I think it made the most sense. You know, you saw what a lot of your prospects can do. You saw, like, your outfielders, you know, Sawinski, Mitchell, Marcano, those types of guys. And it made sense to go out and get Kutch. And the other thing Kutch brings is that veteran presence. You know, mentor. You know, Kutch had a lot of fun last year. I liked watching him, you know, in the dugout with Milwaukee. Like, he just brings an energy. And I think that's going to be really good for the Pirates. And it also really could change. It'll keep that presence there if they end up, you know, trading Brian Reynolds at some point. I really don't think that's going to happen unless they're absolutely floored by an offer at the deadline. I think Brian Reynolds is going to stick. I honestly wouldn't be totally shocked if the Pirates just all of a sudden threw more money at him and got a deal done. But, you know, Kutch is a good guy to have. Sorry, Santana is a great guy to have. Like, those two guys will do a lot for this team just by being there. Being there, mentoring, working with these young guys. Just really kind of showing them, like, what a pro, a long-time pro looks like. So, all in all, I feel like the construction of this roster has been done pretty well so far. Like I said, there's some holes and some extra pieces that I would like them to add, but there's also prospects waiting in the wings. And on my next episode, that's kind of what I'm going to look at. The prospects that you could see this year, because this year could be a lot of fun. You know, guys that are already up, continuing to develop, and then more guys coming. You know, like I've said in other episodes, the idea is there's just wave upon wave of talent coming up through the system. But I'll save that for another episode. But yeah, just, you know, want to thank everybody for listening. Give me a follow on social media, Bucko Fever Pod on Twitter, Bucko Fever Podcast on Facebook. And of course, check out BuckoFeverPodcast.com for any updates with blog posts and or, you know, updates to the podcast. But again, you know, I think, you know, thank everybody for listening. I'm going to try to get a little bit more scheduled this year, this season, go back to what it looked like more the first 2 years ago when I started this. But again, everybody that's listened since the beginning, I thank you and look forward to the 2023 season and some new things to come. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.